Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, April 28th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Divisions widen in the MDCT following a move Saturday by Secretary General Tendai Biti to suspend founding president Morgan Tsvangirai and a few others from the party.
From the point of view of observers from the sideline, it's really quite unfortunate that the Movement for Democratic Change is going through such serious challenges, which need a sober approach.
Zimbabwe's main workers' unions snub political party leaders as they prepare to mark Workers' Day on Thursday.
Over the years, we had complaints from our members that the environment being created in our gatherings is a bit intimidating.
And the Harare Festival of the Arts, or HIFA, roars into life tomorrow with local and international artists lighting up several venues in the capital.
Divisions in the MDC continued to widen today with the faction led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai calling an urgent National Executive and National Council meeting at the party's Harvest House headquarters in Harare tomorrow. Delegates to the meetings, party sources say, will agree to expel members who attended another National Council meeting called by a rival faction Saturday and is led by Party Secretary General Tendai Biti. Biti and his so-called renewal team announced Saturday that they were expelling founding president Morgan Tsvangirai and his deputy Tokozani Kupe among other top party leaders for allegedly deviating from the MDC's democratic founding principles. But Tsvangirai's faction maintains the former trade unionist is still in charge. Blessing Zulu spoke with spokesman Douglas Monzora of the Tsvangirai MDC about tomorrow's meetings.
We have called a meeting of the genuine National Council to put an end to the madness that is there. So the genuine members of the National Council are going to meet in Harare tomorrow to decide the fate of the party. It is important in a party like ours that we stick to the constitution, do our work in terms of the dictates of the constitution of the party.
Have you invited members of your party who attended the Mandela Center meeting?
Yes, yes. They have to be there in the meeting, especially the Secretary General. They have to be there in the National Council meeting. If he chooses not to come, then that's his election. But they have to be there. We have not chased them from the party at all, and they are supposed to be there. But it must be known that whether they are there or not, decisions will be made.
Are we likely to see more expulsions tomorrow?
Well, I cannot preempt the decision of the people because this is a very, very serious meeting of 195 people representing the owners of the MDC, the owners of the movement.
Mr. Monzora, most analysts are saying this is signifying another split in the MDC. Do you agree with this assessment?
Well, it's still too early to say that, but it may be showing telltale signs of people breaking away. This is not a split. A split is more different than this. This is a splinter.
That was MDC spokesman Douglas Monzora speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Blessing also reached a spokesman of the rival faction, Jacob Mafume, who says they have written a letter to Clerk of Parliament Austin Zuma asking him not to expel 9 members of parliament who are backing their call for leadership renewal in the Labour-backed movement. Mafume adds his faction has not been invited to tomorrow's meeting.
We have not received that. And moreover, they cannot call a meeting. They are under suspension. They are best advised asking their lawyers how to deal with the suspension once they've been suspended under the constitution.
At the moment, Mr. Mafume, who is leading your group since you announced that you had suspended the entire leadership?
We did not suspend the entire leadership. We suspended 7 people who are not democratic. We have Tendai Biti, Solomon Mazore, Elton Mangoma, and a number of other leaders who were not suspended, the Guardian Council.
There was also a statement from your group that you were going to write to the Speaker of Parliament to ensure that MPs and senators who are backing you are not suspended. Has the letter been written?
Yes, it will be delivered shortly. What we have written, we know we are dealing with a group that has no respect of the law, as you saw in the suspension of Mangoma and many others. They issue suspensions like confetti at a wedding. And in this case, these are confetti full of thorns. But what we have done to avoid their lawlessness, we have advised the Speaker that this group no longer speaks for the party, they no longer speak for democracy, and any actions that they do from the forthwith once they have not dealt with their suspension is invalid.
A spokesman of the other faction of the MDC, Jacob Mafume, he was speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Efforts to get a comment from Clerk of Parliament Austin Zoma were futile as his mobile phone went unanswered. The 9 MPs who dished Changirai in support of Biti and his renewal team are brothers Paul and Solomon Mazore, Moses Manyengavana, Willas Mazimure, Samos Pepankomo, Bekite Manyati, Evelyn Masaiti, Washisi Banda and Biti himself. Human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga tells Blessing Zulu that the factionalism in the MDC is unfortunate.
These are unfortunate developments for Zimbabwe and for democracy and for the development of a strong and significant alternative to ZANU-PF's failed but long-time rule. So it's really, from the point of view of observers from the sideline, it's really quite unfortunate that the Movement for Democratic Change is going through such serious challenges, which need a sober approach and which need to be resolved urgently.
But is it still possible to reconcile the two factions?
It is never too late, and one of the principles of medicine is that you never say it's beyond redemption. There is always a scope and time for sober reflection and for, I believe, putting the interests of the struggle first, for focusing on what needs to be done to strengthen the movement, to strengthen the institution and take Zimbabweans forward.
That was human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg.
Zimbabwe's main workers' unions will, for the first time in a long time, snub political party leaders as they mark Workers' Day on Thursday. Union leaders told Studio 7 in separate interviews politicians are in the habit of hijacking such events to feather their own political nests. Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japhet Moyo says this year the union's umbrella body will focus on the workers and their needs. Only Labour Minister Nicholas Goje has been invited. Lawmakers will not be given an opportunity to speak. Workers, Moyo says, should not wear party regalia at Workers' Day commemorations at Gwanzura Stadium in Harare Thursday.
Over the years, we had complaints from our members that there are other political parties who come and elbow other out, or the environment being created at in our gatherings is a bit intimidating. We deal with government in power, of course, so we invite the minister. Whether the minister is going to speak on behalf of his party, we are not aware of that, but we invited the Minister of Labour. I don't even know what portfolio that person holds in the political party, so we invited the minister. That's how we have been operating over the years.
And what is the theme this year? workers intensify the struggle, nor to labor market flexibility, because the topical issue these days is what came out from the Chinamasa's budget statement, that they want to reform or deregulate the labor laws and introduce flexibility. And we are urging workers to say no to that. That's how we derive our theme this year.
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo in Harare.
Concerned affiliates of the ZCTU leader Lavmo Matombo says they will also shun politicians this year.
We are at an advanced stage in the preparation for our May Day commemoration. And these commemorations will be staged around the five major cities of the country, mainly Harare, where we'll be meeting at Harare Gardens, Blawayo, Masingo, Gweru, Mutare, and also the smaller towns like Wangi and Kariba. We shall be commemorating the May Day around those centers.
Are you going to invite any political parties?
Well, it has been our belief and our undertaking that we shall not in any way invite political parties, but rather those institutions of government whom we deal with, such as the Minister of Labor or his representatives, whoever he chooses to send. We have also invited some civic organizations. And of course, other political parties might come, but they have been forewarned that they should not try to mislead and deviate the concept of May Day commemoration.
That was concerned affiliates of the ZCTU leader Lavmo Matombo in Harare.
Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Union Secretary General Kenyas Shamyarira says their activities will this year be in Kariba as they target workers outside Harare.
We have arranged six celebrating venues, but the main one is going to be in Kariba, Yamunga Stadium, Mashonaland West. That's where we are expecting thousands of workers to gather in Nyamunga Zone from tourism sector, fishing, crocodile farming, transport, education, and so on. And the main theme for our May Day this year is workers take charge of the country's socio-economic blueprint. On this one, we are actually agitating and demanding that it is high time that the workers should take charge of the economic blueprint, particularly in Zimbabwe, where we have seen that a lot of decisions are just being imposed on us by politicians, business people, and conglomerates without our input.
Are you going to invite any political party this year?
Particularly, we don't normally focus on, say, political parties, but we are inviting the Minister of Labour and Social Welfare. We have also extended the invitation to the governor and rested minister for Mashwest. We invite these people just for the purpose of them to come and understand where we are coming from and for us to give them a collect and clear-cut message on how they are shortchanging us and that their road is soon coming to an end because workers are not going to tolerate such shortchanges anymore.
That was Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Union Secretary General Kenyas Shamyarira on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Now, Chris, we go to look at regional and international news.
Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott says it is highly unlikely any debris from a missing Malaysia Airlines passenger jet will be found on the surface of the Indian Ocean. He told a news conference today that the search will be entering a new phase, during which a U.S. Navy robot submersible will look at a much larger area of the ocean floor.
An Egyptian court has sentenced 683 Muslim Brotherhood supporters to death on charges that include murder of a police officer and other acts of violence. The judge handed down the sentences today in the southern city of Minya, about 200 kilometers south of Cairo.
And at least 22 people are dead after gunmen opened fire inside a hospital in the northwestern Central African Republic. The aid group Doctors Without Borders has confirmed three of its local workers were killed during the attack Saturday at Nanga Bogwila near the CAR border with Chad.
The Zimbabwe Teachers Association says the cage-strapped government should ensure that civil servants in the country benefit from its indigenization program. In resolutions adopted at the end of its 33rd National Annual Conference, ZIMTA members agreed the government has not done enough to empower civil servants, adding they also want the state to allocate them land for housing projects as it struggles to pay them salaries in line with the poverty datum line. John Mulilo is the Secretary General of ZIMTA. He says there's need for a total mindset change within the government, in particular sincerely dealing with corruption to ensure all Zimbabweans benefit from national programs.
The conference clearly mandated the ZIMTA negotiators with the other union negotiators to focus negotiations on several key areas. One that has to do with the salaries and the structure of the salaries. For example, the recent salary adjustments, though insignificant, resulted in a lot of bunching, such that a teacher who enters the service today and a teacher who entered the service 5 years ago, the difference might be $5. Secondly, we were mandated, given an agenda, that when we negotiate, we should also negotiate that of availing land for development of houses, because it is important that a worker has a house so that when they retire, they have somewhere to go and rest. The other resolution, again related to remuneration, focuses on the process of indigenization. As civil servants, we're saying, yes, this is government policy. As civil servants, we work with the government of the day. Now we're saying, well, what is it in it that is going to benefit civil servants?
That was ZIMTA Secretary General John Mulilo in Harare.
At the country's premier arts festival, the Harare Festival of the Arts, Haifa, roars into life tomorrow with several venues highlighting the best Zimbabwe has to offer. Running under the theme Switch On, the festival is expected to showcase local and international artists from over 20 countries until May 4th. Haifa spokesman Tafadzwa Simba tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye a mixed bag of established and upcoming new artists are on hand, with family-oriented programs also on offer.
The theme is Switch On, and it's all to do with switching on the potential that we have, switching on those latent energies and abilities that we have so that we can actually move forward as a country.
And how many foreign artists are you expecting in the country at this year's Haifa?
We're expecting at least 20, more than 20. Obviously, at the moment, we've been concentrating on the more important aspects of the preparations, the practical logistics of it. So we haven't really sat down to do a proper head count of the countries represented here, but it is at least 20.
And what can those that will be visiting Haifa look forward to this year that's different from what you did last year?
Well, the nature of festivals, particularly Haifa, is that it's difficult to compare festivals. What one can expect is a certain level of consistency in terms of what they've come to know about Haifa and expect from Haifa, but then also a certain level of novelty with a novel twist to it. For instance, we had the First Street stage, which is a free stage, for quite a number of years, but perhaps the novelty this year is that it is going to be hosted in conjunction with the PEPFAR program, which is the United States President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And we're going to be drawing attention to matters to do with HIV and AIDS and positive living and sport. Then we also have had comedy at Haifa before, but this year we're going to actually have quite a number of shows in a separate, almost standalone program called the Danida Comedy Program. And this is going to be using comedy to actually highlight something which is quite serious, which is gender-based violence. So we're using the concept of comedy as something that lends itself to talking openly about something so that we can address something that we haven't been talking about quite a lot, which is gender-based violence.
That was Haifa spokesman Tafadzwa Simba on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-0010-334. Once again, 033-0010-334.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about problems in the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And in sports news, Chelsea yesterday threw the Barclays Premier League title race wide open on a day Dynamos shot to the top of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story from the capital.
The eyes of the world were yesterday on Merseyside's Anfield, where Chelsea threw the Barclays Premier League race wide open with a shock 2-0 win over top of the table Liverpool. Even in Zimbabwe, the blue colours of Chelsea and the red replica jerseys of Liverpool dominated the streets as fans braced for what was dubbed the match of the season in the Barclays Premiership. But goals from Senegalese striker Demba Ba and Brazilian William left the Blues fans in delirium as they celebrated their goals and the 3 points. The Chelsea win has left Jose Mourinho's side 2 points behind Liverpool, with 2 games left. But it is Manchester City, who are 3 points adrift of Liverpool, who are the biggest threat to the Reds' dream of their first league title in 24 years. City are on 77 points after overcoming Crystal Palace 2-0 at the Etihad Stadium, and should they win their remaining 3 matches, and Liverpool also win their remaining 2, both teams will end on 86 points, but City will take the title on goal difference. It was, though, not all of that of a bad weekend for the Reds of Liverpool, and their striker Luis Suarez was named the Barclays Premiership Player of the Year. Suarez, who is from Rio Guari, is the first South American to win the award. While Liverpool are counting the cost of their defeat to Chelsea, the same cannot be said of Zimbabwe champions Dynamos, who have shot to the top of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League table. The defending champions hammered Harare City 3-1 for their first win at the National Sports Stadium to move 1 point clear of Highlanders Hwange and ZPC Kariba, who are on 8 points. 2 goals from Anesu Gondo and another from Walter Mkanga saw Kalisto Pasua's side collect maximum points to move to 9 points from 4 matches. Pasua says after the 2 losses at the National Sports Stadium, they've done their homework and it has paid off. Overnight leaders Islanders and Wange cancelled each other after a 1-1 draw at Baba Fields, while newcomer ZPC Kariba also failed to capitalize after they were held to a goalless draw by Buffaloes. Controversy also reigned supreme over the weekend after referee Ruzive Ruzive gave Black Rhinos a goal for a 2-1 win over Motshunga's Tshiredzi, but television replays showed that Bevan Chikaka's effort did not cross the line. Even Capes United coach Aurai Mangwiro does not have kind words for Zimbabwean referees after his club was denied what appeared to be a genuine goal, which was ruled out for offside, leaving his side in a 2-1 defeat to FC Platinum. That aside, the Warriors of Zimbabwe received a favourite draw in the qualifiers for the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations after they were drawn to play Tanzania following the draw at the CAF headquarters yesterday. Should they beat the Taifa Stars, the Warriors will play the winner of the game between Mozambique and South Sudan for that vital place in the group stages, where they will join Zambia, Cape Verde and Niger. The Warriors are bidding to qualify for the Nations Cup Finals after missing out of the past four editions in 2008, 2010, 2012 and 2013. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Martin Mkanganise writes, "Hard times never kill. The party is now rejuvenating. Great things are coming." From Simisani Puti, "Tendai Biti is a ZANU PF project. Harvest House, Hamupinde Manje, never." Mind Uchena writes, "Suspend Tendai Biti from the MDCT. Why did these people not wait for the party congress? They should also find another name for their own party and not MDC." From Ngobile Eric Ngwenya, we hear, "Remove party leader Morgan Tsvangirai to resolve MDCT problems." Also weighing in, Morgan Dube, "Morgan Tsvangirai represents the interests of the people of Zimbabwe. I saw it coming when Tendai Biti claimed that his house was petrol-bombed by MDC youth. He has always wanted to be president of the party." Mongani Chihovo writes, "Viva Morgan Tsvangirai." Admo Kadera writes, "I think they should wait for the next Congress where leaders are voted in or out. What are they afraid of? If they have people at heart, they must follow right channels." Also weighing in, Cassius J's Simana Mpofu. "So, Douglas Munzora, you think Harvest House is the party? What's funny about being at Harvest House and not being at Harvest House?" Godfrey Zirewa writes, "The chaos goes on while ZANU-PF is getting ready for 2018. The issue is centering on Morgan Tsvangirai's failure to remove ZANU-PF from power. That is the sad thing about this. It is high time Morgan Tsvangirai looked himself in the mirror and asked the question, can I deliver after 15 years of failure?" We also heard from Alexander Magvila Musawengana, "MDC is the party of excellence." Philip Fekedza writes, "Historically, a strong party goes through this process and it's good for the organization to prune and cultivate seeds and grass. Rebels have been there in any given party. To lead an organization, you must have people at heart first." And finally, Rocky Hadi Chimene writes, "Let us be fair. Why just want to kick out Tsvangirai because the whole team failed to deliver?"
That was Ndimiyake Makelele there reading some messages from Studio 7 listeners who are just weighing in, Chris, on the power struggles in the MDC. Very divergent views. Please continue to write to us on Facebook. Continue to use our WhatsApp and we'll read your messages later on during Live Talk as well.
Yes, and now let's recap today's top stories.
The main story, Chris, being the divisions in the MDC widening following a move Saturday by Secretary General Tendai Biti to suspend the founding president Morgan Tsvangirai and six others from the party.
Zimbabwe's main workers' unions will, for the first time in a long time, snub political party leaders as they mark Workers' Day Thursday.
And, Chris, it's holiday time in Zimbabwe, so I'm sure many school kids will be going to take advantage of the Harare Festival of Arts or Haifa, which rolls into life tomorrow.
That's our broadcast this evening. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you